This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Here's WSMI's Tim Mize and Dave Jenkins.
Good morning, Tito.
Good morning.
Well, tomorrow there's a big two-man touch football game that'll be played.
Yep.
They'll draw lots of viewership.
Probably a record viewership again.
It always is.
There were 4,000 people at Media Day on Monday night, which they're now calling Opening Night. That's ridiculous.
Well, that's kind of like what they call the first round games in the NCAA. Now they've gone back and just said they're play-in games.
Good. That's what they are.
That's what they're calling them now officially?
Well,
they are, yeah.
They've got a different name for them. It's not the first round.
The first round will actually be the first round.
Thank goodness, because that was always really confusing when I was filling out my bracket.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It might be one of the smartest things the NCAA has ever done.
Do you realize how close to bracket filling out time is?
Close.
Pretty close.
Very close.
About a month away, really.
Yeah, really.
Can't say that I've watched a lot of college basketball this year.
It's been quite the year. Yeah. No clear favorite. Going to be a wild tournament.
I tell you what, there's been a lot of turnover in the top 25.
Yeah. And
you don't really want to be ranked number one this year.
No, that's the kiss of death right there.
And there will be no Louisville in the tournament this year.
No.
Yeah, we'll get into that maybe a little bit later. But I guess there is some teeth to the sex scandal, I guess, is probably what you want to call it down there, where allegedly there was a person involved with the Louisville men's basketball team who was hiring paid escorts to have sex with recruits, players, some parents, evidently, involved. Bad. So Louisville has self-imposed a ban well before the NCAA even comes out with their report. So that tells you they found something that is very, very incriminating.
It wouldn't be shocking to have the NCAA come along and actually increase the penalty.
I could see it.
Yeah. Oh, it's going to be increased.
What's unfortunate, though, is that the players are getting punished and Pitino is getting off.
He's getting paid?
Scot-free. So.
It might cost him his job, though.
It should.
He might not survive this.
It should, but of course that school still employs Bobby Pitino.
Well, they fired him before, though.
No, he left.
That's right.
He left to go to Arkansas.
That's right. But see, money always talks. Yeah, and now Louisville's not going to be getting that NCAA tournament money. Not going to be getting that ACC tournament money because they're not even playing in the conference tournament.
Right.
Money talks.
Well, they're not even playing in the conference tournament?
No.
ACC tournament. End of the regular season, they're done.
Talk about an abrupt ending to a nationally ranked squad.
Mm-hmm. So you're a player on this team. You've been recruited, and all of a sudden this story breaks, and you have had nothing to do with it, obviously. You know, hopefully. And You're stuck. Yeah.
Well, they've got two seniors on their team. I think they're two leading scorers, both transferred in as fifth-year seniors. Guys who had never played in the NCAA tournament before went to Louisville for that chance, and now this happens to them. So that's who you really feel bad for. It's always the kids on the current team that pay the price for previous people's transgressions.
The NCAA should almost grant them a sixth year.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
Then again, we're to the point where, you know, at this level, when you're talking about big-time college basketball, aren't they really, truly professional athletes?
Basically. David, the NCAA should also allow Rick Majerus to buy a hungry kid on his basketball team a pizza.
But he can't do that. Yeah.
No. This is true. Yeah. Actually, didn't Shaq come out this week and say that he got paid?
Very well at LSU, apparently.
Yes, he did.
I think he said that. He's like,
that's the beauty
of Shaq. Statute of limitations is over. I got paid.
I'm pretty sure he was joking, but the way that Shaq can, like, deliver things, I don't really know. I don't doubt for a second that he got paid.
Yeah.
But odd thing to say.
Well, he said statute of limitations
is over. Well, see, his boy is becoming a big-time high school recruit, so maybe he's just kind of laying the foundation there.
Yeah. This is what it's going
to
take.
There's an entry fee to get into this. That's right.
There's a little entry fee here. That's
classic
all.
Classic Shaq.
You're going to have to buy the rights to acquire the bidding process.
That's right. It's like a PSL.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've seen the YouTube videos of Shaq's kid, though. He's good. Mm-hmm. He can actually shoot.
Mm-hmm. Oh, hey.
He can handle and shoot.
Can he actually shoot free throws. Yes.
And threes.
How about that?
And threes, yeah.
Is he 7 foot?
No.
On his way, though. He's like 6'8 or 6'9, I think.
He's a big guy, but. He's a shooter.
What class is he? Is he still early?
I look like
in his high
he's a junior,
career?
Maybe.
Okay. I think so. Yeah.
Maybe just a sophomore. He's not a senior.
He's not a senior.
But that just makes you appreciate Shaq and like how rare of a basketball player he was.
Yeah.
I mean, you talk about just a freak of nature, for lack of a better term, just manhandling grown men.
He's just huge. I mean, I guess you could say he's small by a lot of centers in his time because he was only 7 foot compared to others who were like 7'3", 7'4".
Yeah, but he was 320 I know, that's what I'm pounds. Saying.
Like, he was huge for...
He was the definitive wide body.
Yeah. Manute Bull might have been 7 inches taller, but get put right through the concrete wall like the Roadrunner.
Yeah. He was huge, yeah. Fun to watch.
Big man.
Except on the free throw line. It was not fun to watch on the free throw line.
Step in and take the charge. I don't think so. You step in and take the charge. I'm not getting anywhere near that guy.
I think he brought the ball up the floor once on a fast break while he was in L.A., and it was one of the most hilarious things I've ever seen.
There's probably a YouTube video.
Yeah, I'm
that
sure
too.
There is. It was a two-on-one, and he had the ball.
Oh, my God.
And it was like, oh, boy, he's not passing because who's going to defend him?
Look out.
Yeah, look out.
Hard to believe, guys, but girls' regionals start on Monday.
Today we have boys' wrestling individual regionals underway. Girls' bowling regionals underway as well today. And, of course, girls' 1 and 2A regional tournament basketball beginning Monday. So.
New Berlin, the cheerleaders are in the state finals today. I mean, that doesn't get mentioned a lot. I just found it. I scrolled through Twitter and noticed that the cheerleading finals were today. Okay. New Berlin. Made the top 10. So they
good for them. Congratulations.
The Pretzelettes.
The Pretzelettes.
Is that what they are officially?
I have no idea. The Pretzels are their team name.
Oh, I know that.
So I don't know.
But they made the top 10. Greenville was up there, but they didn't make the top 10, so they're done.
So is it 10 advance from the preliminaries to the finals, I guess?
I think so, and those are today. So
any Nordic dances going on up there, David?
I don't know. I'm sure there are.
There has to be, right?
I don't know why not.
Oh, geez.
Well, this past Thursday, of course, was the final regular season Thursday night for the girls. Last night, of course, a Friday night for the boys. Not the final Friday night of the regular season, but it was the final home game for the Litchfield Purple Panthers last night. Senior night for Litchfield, and Greenville rolled into town, and David Holden kind of wrecked the party.
Boy, I tell you what, that kid can shoot, and we saw him during the Litchfield tournament, and he was a member of the all-tournament team, and he had 18 points at the half and finished with 28, and... Greenville scored early and scored often.
As good as they were last
year.
And
still undefeated in the conference at 8-0 with one game to play against, I think, Tuesday night they played Carlinville.
That's right.
That's right. Yeah, as good as they were last year, I think he was the best player on their team last year. Yeah. So, he's a special kid.
I tell you what, Greenville, their record's, 14-10 overall. Greenville could surprise some people, I think, in the postseason.
Absolutely.
Because they played some bigger schools. Some bigger competition, and I think Greenville.
And they didn't start out well either.
No, they didn't.
They were like 1-4, 1-5 to start the season. So
they looked pretty good last night.
Yeah.
Tough.
Yeah, they did.
And, the record a lot of times maybe more around that 500 mark, but always a tough out.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. So, and Todd Cantrell, we talk about programs, and he's been there for a while, and he's got a good program going, and The pieces are in place.
Continuity.
Continuity. That's what it's all about. Continuity, yeah.
Would you call Holden the point guard? Because, he handles the ball.
No, Efron, I think, is the actual point guard. And he doesn't hardly shoot. But, boy, he delivers
him bring
great
the ball
passes.
The new age term for David Holden would be point forward.
Yeah.
Point forward.
Be a two or three, yeah.
Or a stretch four.
Yeah.
I don't think he's that, but. I don't think that really exists.
Here's what you do. You get him the ball, okay?
Get him the ball. There you go.
Well, I was going to say, because if...
Plan number one, get him the ball.
Because you don't... If he were a point guard, you don't see a lot of 6'4 point guards in this area. Because he's a 6'4, so...
Yeah, no, I'd call him a point forward.
Okay.
Call him a point forward.
But he moves very well without the ball.
Yeah. Yeah, he makes Greenville go.
He does, and he gets to the open spot on the floor. So
Reed Detmers, he's the guy that kind of makes Nokomis go. They got a win last night in Bunker Hill, and it was one of those games where it was just kind of a grind for the Skins all night long. If you ask Steve Kimbrough, I'd probably say they didn't play well at any point in the ball game. He was up, and he was motivating most of the ball game last night.
Oh, is that what you call that?
That's what we'll call it.
Okay.
That's what we'll call it. But they hung on and got the win at Lafka Hall last night. But Coach Lafka was there. And then Steve Kimbrough, kind of neat.
Yeah.
Hall of Famers all over the place.
Yeah, Hall of Fame night at the ballpark.
That's right.
Yeah.
And I won the 50-50.
You did?
Yeah.
Did you donate it
back?
Donate it back?
Heck no.
What?
Heck no. What? If I pay to get into the ball game, I keep it. If I'm there for WISME business, I get in for free. Okay. I'll donate back. But
okay.
Got to take care of me, man.
Okay.
Okay.
Donate it.
You have
Do you not know me at all?
Well,
don't be silly.
Now that you mention it.
You know how rarely I win the 50-50?
Well, you're still a winner. They're not taking away. If you donate back, they're not taking away your winning.
They're taking away my money.
You're not your title.
Well, not give me a trophy, David. They gave me money.
All you're out is just your donation.
It's true.
That's all.
It's true.
And you've made a donation to a worthwhile cause. Whatever cause it was.
Whatever cause it may have been. Yeah. Right.
Now we're just going to shame you the whole time.
That's fine. That's fine. I would expect nothing different. I'm going to shame Bunker Hill now, though. They got the scoreboard. Yeah. Up at Bunker Hill. And they put the names and the numbers of the kids. You know, this has been going on since they invented scoreboard.
James Naismith.
Long time.
Yeah.
But Bunker Hill, and I'm from there, so I am allowed to bash them. I've ran plenty of wind sprints for good old Bunker Hill over the years, so I'm allowed. I've earned that right. They didn't have the right numbers for the Nokomis kids on the scoreboard. They had, I guess Nokomis probably sent the roster in a spreadsheet.
Mm-hmm.
And so they had, like, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 to designate each player. And so, like, one would be Reed Detmer, say, would have his year, his height, and then his jersey number. Well, that jersey number on the far right. Well, they just went with the number column that was on the far left. So it was just straight down the board, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, all the way down to 13.
Ooh,
and Sobel didn't even make the board. So I'm up there, I'm looking at it, I'm like, that looks weird. What is wrong? Oh, I know what happened. I see.
They don't even use 6 through 9.
That's like, I've done a lot of high school games. I don't think I've ever seen a high school kid wear number 9.
Don't because the officials.
Well, see, this used to be a rule. It's changed now where you couldn't have a digit in high school that was more than 5, right?
It still is.
Is it still a rule?
Still a rule, yeah.
Still is, okay.
Still is a rule.
I was
rule.
Thinking that had been
high
changed.
School, in high school basketball, still is a rule, yeah. So, you used to, and then now they allow the double zero.
Right.
And you can still have a single zero if you wanted to, which is confusing. Yeah. That's
right. You notice they don't even have them in college. I think maybe six through nine, but once you get to 10 and beyond, there's no 6, 7, or 8.
No, I don't think college. I think college is just
straight
like high school.
Like high school, yeah. You might be right.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's just an NBA thing.
And it all came down right for the officials signaling fouls to the table is how I always understood it.
Right.
Yeah.
Because you don't got unless you're in the Princess of the Bride, you only got 5 fingers.
Yeah. Or Antonio Alfonseca.
Ooh, good call, David. Yeah. He's the closer for the Marlins.
And Cubs.
And the Cubs.
Yeah.
I wonder if that was actually a benefit to him.
I don't know, because it was such a small finger.
Weird.
The guys that have the long fingers that can wrap the ball, I mean, those are the guys.
Yeah, this sixth finger was more of a stub off the side of his hand. It was, it was something else.
Sounds like an episode of Mythbusters here.
Well, there you go. They could test it out.
They would be able to figure that out.
Would be.
You know, does it allow you to get more rotation?
You know, they did do a baseball show in which they proved that sliding into first is a lot slower than running through the base.
Someone tell Skip Schumacher, please.
Yeah.
I think
proved it scientifically.
Scientifically proven.
Yeah, scientifically proven.
Well, when we talked about this before, and I know you've always said it, and I agree, you don't see the Olympic sprinters diving.
No.
To the finish line.
You run across the finish line.
I think the only time it's been accepted now is whenever it's a high throw and you're trying to avoid the tag in first base. You go down low.
Yeah, that's a different deal. Well, there's
but you still don't slide. You duck down.
You duck. I think it's Eric Hosmer for the Royals. I think that's who it is. Dives into first base all the time. I think it's Hosmer. It's somebody on the Royals. And every time he does it, I'm like, why?
Well,
you get your hand stepped on, might get it broken.
Number one, it just looks stupid at first base.
Does.
And if umpires just ought to call them out, it's because you look stupid. I don't care whether you were safe or out. You look stupid, you're out.
Well, I think an umpire is more likely to call you out in that situation just because
it doesn't look right.
Right. They're trained to look for feet and a sound of the ball.
Yeah. It's just odd. Just crazy.
But yeah, Skippy.
Run through the base.
Right. I know.
That's the only base you're allowed to run through. Not at home, I guess, actually.
And you shouldn't have to slide into there either.
No.
Now you do.
Now you do. Have to have a lane.
That's right, because Buster Posey can't get out of the way.
Now we have a lane not only going to first, but we have a lane coming home,
that's right,
too.
We should get the safety plate where we could have, like, the orange and the white plate up there.
No. Don't give anybody any ideas.
We don't
want to
do that?
No good? Just do, like, slow-pitch softball where you have the pad behind there where you can just run through it, and as long as your foot touches that and the catcher can't touch it, he has to touch the actual plate. So
why not?
Really? Okay.
As long as we're doing that, may as well go to slow pitch.
Commissioner of the Stickball League.
Hey, I'm telling you, we'll have to have our rules review committee.
That's right.
Take a look at this. You know, as long as you have the penalty hole, you're okay.
Yeah. Got to have the penalty hole.
Got to have the penalty
hole. The famed penalty
hole. For stickball, you know, I'm telling you.
We need a break on Sports Saturday. We'll come back in a moment.
All I'm going to say, guys, is that Mythbusters proved it. Okay.
Science
proved it. That if
Jesse
you run,
Pinkman.
You know, if you run through, Adam and Jamie proved that if you run through first base, it's quicker than sliding.
Yes, yeah, science.
We've got it on. Oh, go to Discovery.
Yeah, you can get it.
Yeah, yeah.
It's science. You can't argue with. Well, I guess you can't argue with science.
You cannot change the laws of physics.
You can't?
No.
No?
No.
Not at all?
No.
You can't argue with science.
No.
That's all science is proving yourself that you're
wrong. Let me just say this. Number one, you can't steal first, so there's no need to slide. Okay?
It's a good one.
Number two, if it was faster, don't you think they'd be teaching everybody to slide?
Probably.
No. Okay. Now, I'm not the smartest dude in the world. I'll be first to admit it, but I'm just saying. Okay? Plus, there's this rule that you can overrun first.
Right. You're allowed to do it.
Yeah, you're allowed to do it. So.
Just don't turn the wrong way when you do it.
No, that's not the rule. The rule says you have to make an attempt to go to second base. You can turn that way, but
ooh.
But how do you, you know, it's up to the
it's a judgment
it's,
call.
It's subjective to the umpire. Do you attempt to go to second base if you turn to your left, or is it just you're turning to your left to come back?
But generally, though, if you wind up on the left side of that line, they deem it that you were on your way to second base.
That's why
base.
It's always safer to turn to the right.
That's why they always teach you to turn to the right. That's exactly right.
It's like the rule. The rule says it has to be an attempt to go to second. So.
Especially in today's day and age where they're trying to take judgment calls out of the officials' hands and trying
That's
to make
why
it
you
black
have
and
officials.
White. I know, but they're trying to make it. They're trying to make everything black and white.
Aren't all calls judgment calls, though, when it gets down to it?
Yeah.
Basically.
Pretty much. Yeah. But they're trying to make things as black and white as possible.
I remember years ago you had a very interesting thought about replay in baseball.
Mm-hmm.
About putting a camera on the hat or whatever of the umpire, so you would have their view.
My whole complaint about reviewing calls in sports, and in particular baseball, is the fact that you can use 6 or 7 or 8 or 10 different camera angles to review a particular play. That should have nothing to do with it. The play that should be concerned is what the umpire sees. What did it appear to the umpire? And that's why I say the only review they should have is the camera that's on top of the umpire's hat, and that should be the only picture they review, because what did it look like to the umpire? He may have gotten it wrong, but if it looked right to him, it's right.
Yeah, I mean,
to me, you know, extra replays, yeah, you're dragging the game on and on and on, but if you really want to help the umpires, put a camera on their hat, and that's the only replay you look at.
Or just get rid of the umpires altogether and just have it all be monitored by computers and cameras, and then you can use all the different angles. But I think it's a very interesting point, just because everyone likes to blast officiating now. Everyone talks, whether it's – even you see it at the high school level now, where everyone talks about how bad the officiating – I mean, Terry, we walk out of a gym, and, you know, we're just walking out, not necessarily talking to people, but, you know, you hear what people are saying, just the conversation in the gym. And there is just so much conversation from the losing team. Well, the refs cost us the game.
Yeah,
that was
despite the fact there were 24 turnovers and you missed, you know, 15 out of 30 free throws.
Right. Details.
Yeah. Details. Didn't block out.
That's
and
right.
get
that referee, by golly, he's the one that cost us the game. But so you see it at the high school level, and it certainly goes all the way up to where when your team loses, it's so easy to blame the official. Well, how could they miss that? I saw it on TV, saw the replay. Right. You saw the slow motion, high def replay 12 times.
And an enlarged view.
Yeah,
that's why I say the only replay that should be seen is what the umpire sees. I think that's the only fair way to do it.
That's right.
If I was the umpires union, I'd really be throwing a fit.
I would be too.
Because I don't want 10 different replays to prove me wrong. If from my angle, it looked like I got it right.
And it would answer the age-old question, what were they looking at?
Yeah.
What were you looking at? We could see what you were looking at. You were looking in the stands. Yeah,
that'd be funny to start seeing some, this isn't even anywhere near the play. Well, he's looking over in the corner.
Well, and then that means you get fired.
Yeah.
Right.
That's what you do. That means you get fired. But you know, it's all about being in position to make the right call. And even though you're in position to make the right call, sometimes you get deceived on what the call is. Now, not very often. And you have to admit that Major League Baseball umpires are accurate a lot. Very, very accurate.
That was what I came to appreciate after the first year of replay. Because they would go to these replays like, oh, he got that wrong. And they would slow it down. It's like, oh, my God, he got that right.
He got that right. And I mean, you know, you're looking at, you know, 1,000th of a second, a frame-by-frame thing, and they got the darn thing right. And you go, how in the heck do they do that? So, but anyway, that's my position on replay. Whatever the sport is, you just the official that makes the call, that's the view, the only view you should view. So I just think it's fair.
Something to be said for it. And if nothing else, you'd be able to answer. What was he looking at?
Yeah. Well, no, and that's isn't that the first question that people generally ask? What are they seeing? What game is he?
There's six eyes out there. How can no one see it?
So I don't know.
Like for Southwestern a few years ago, I would like to see the images of what those three officials were looking at. Yeah. What were we looking at, boys? What'd you see?
As the clock was zero,
the board is red. Balls in the hand. Where are you looking? What's going on?
There was a spider over there. I was making sure it didn't get anywhere near me.
Well, we wouldn't want that.
Oh, my gosh.
Hey, we're going to have basketball for you, a lot of it, coming up next week. We've got, a triple header of regional basketball on Monday, potential triple header on Tuesday.
Yeah. We're going to start off with games from three different regionals on Monday. First game will be from Neoga, with Nokomis taking on Cowden Herrick, and that'll be a 7:30. Then we'll have the broadcast of the Carlinville-Staunton game at about 9, followed by North Mac versus South Fork from the North Mac regional. So we go 1A, 2A, 2A regionals, and we'll have coverage all week long on WSMI FM 106.
And we haven't gotten into it yet, but, of course, Litchfield in the 3A regional, and they got a 6 seed, and we know now that they will be going to SHG.
Kind of a surprise.
Yeah.
I was surprised by that.
Well, and it had to do with the seeding and how they try to balance out the different seedings for each regional tournament. So the top seed in that regional at SHG is Springfield High, and they're the number 2 seed in that subsectional. Springfield High is very good, but Litchfield gets Springfield Lamphere on Monday the 15th, and that's a number 6 for Litchfield, a number 6 seed versus number 11 Lamphere. So,
And of course, with the subsectional seeding, it is different this year. And I was surprised that the top seed in the subsectional Rochester going to Mattoon.
Yeah,
like you know, and there's always going to be a team in that situation because there were so many Springfield-based teams. Somebody was going to get booted out and have to go to Mattoon. But to me, if you're the top seed, shouldn't you get to go to the closest regional?
Well, here we go. You have 1 versus 4, 2 versus 3.
And that supersedes.
So Springfield High is the number 2, Sacred Heart Griffin the number 3. They're at Sacred Heart Griffin because SHG is hosting the regional. So they have to be there. And then you have 1 versus 4 in Mattoon. So, and Litchfield being a number 6 seed, it just figured out that, you know, that's they would fit into the SHG, whereas somebody like Taylorville.
Yeah, I was kind of. I thought Taylorville might have gone to Springfield before Litchfield, to be honest.
But Taylorville had a lower seed. They were a number 10 seed instead of number 6. So that's the subsectional.
And we knew with the subsectional, like it is, that there was going to be at least one team, probably in each subsectional, that was going to have to travel farther for the regional than they probably would have wished.
And probably the bad thing for the Purple Panthers is the fact they've got a whole week off with no basketball because they
week and a half.
Almost 10 days.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they have been playing 2A and 2A schedule, and then now they're 3A, so they have an extra week off because the 3A, 4A regionals don't start until the week of the 15th.
Now, see, because the enrollments go from the previous year. So Litchfield's 3A based on last year's enrollment. They were 4 or 5 kids over. So moving forward next year from Litchfield, will they know what they're going to be? Like, will they be able to schedule, like, slip a game into, like, next week, a regular season game, just assuming they're going to be 3A?
I don't know. And the question is, are you going to be 3A? Because with consolidations and co-ops and everything, the scale may change. That's why it's a sliding scale for the IHSA sports. Like in the football playoffs, sometimes we don't know if it's 2A, 3A. You know, it just depends on how many schools make the playoffs and how many of them are the smaller schools how many are the bigger schools and how does that skew things.
And with 5 or 4 kids being the difference, I mean, they are obviously well within the range to fluctuate back down to 2A next year, perhaps.
So you never know. But, you know, it's a pretty good method of dividing things up. I mean, there's always going to be teams on the cutoff, and Litchfield's one of them.
That's right. So. It's just kind of hard to wrap the mind around that Litchfield is playing in a 3A regional.
Yeah. So, but you know, they don't have to travel that far, and that's a good thing. And you know, they got a number six seed, means they're competitive.
They'll probably have the best player on the floor in that first round game.
That's a distinct possibility. Yeah.
Whenever you got the best player, you've always got a pretty decent chance.
Pretty good chance.
Get that puncher's chance.
Right. Yeah, yeah. You know, and you look at teams like Southwestern. You know, Southwestern playing on their home floor, you would think that they would be comfortable. But you just don't take anything for granted. Southwestern has learned over the years that it's not an easy route. Never is an easy route.
And they've got probably either Gillespie or Greenville waiting there in that title game, and those are two tough, hard-nosed, grinded-out type of clubs. And when you're in a regional championship game and it's win or go home, those types of opponents are tough and nasty.
They are.
How about the year the Gillespie girls had? They were what, 5-21 last year and finished 17-9.
Well, they had a great year, and they were in even of those nine losses. I mean, a number of them were right there for the taking.
Well, four of them were to Litchfield and Hillsborough. Four of those losses.
Yeah. Shame in that.
Yeah.
And Southwestern.
And
a couple of Southwestern. Yeah. So, it's a fun time of year, you know, and that's why they play the game. That's why just because you get a better seed doesn't mean that you automatically advance. It
don't mean nothing.
Everybody starts out 0-0.
Absolutely. And it will be interesting, though, like with the subsectionals back in play to see if it works out like the plan was intended. You know, are we going to wind up with the top four teams? Probably not. There's going to be an upset somewhere.
Well, and if there's an upset, that's no problem.
No.
I think the problem we had years ago when they tried this was the fact that gasoline rose dramatically in price, and the travel situation became, you know, paramount in people's minds. That, hey, it's pretty expensive to drive that far to play a ball game. And that's why they did away with the subsectionals, went back to what I call the neighborhood regional. So we'll see how, you know, if gas remains cheap, probably okay. Yeah.
So far, so good.
But we'll see how it works out here over the next 3 or 4 years. So I think they're going to probably leave it in place for a while.
You need to really just kind of, you know, get a system and stay with it for a number
of
years.
And ultimately what you don't want blowout games in the sectional, you know, because sectionals are high level games. And so if you have blowouts, it hurts the tournament. So doing it this way, you probably stand a better chance of having four really good teams representing a sectional tournament, which is good.
So, absolutely.
That's what you want.
And this time next week.
Oh, yeah.
We'll have regional winners.
Yes.
We'll have sectional pairings.
Yes, we will. Yes.
Unbelievable.
Yes, yes. It's a fun time of year.
It's a great time of year.
It's a wonderful time of year, yes.
So, we need to get to a break. We'll come back with more Sports Saturday following these messages.
Fighting Illini basketball. The Illini take on Hawkeyes of Iowa. Live coverage 11 o'clock Sunday morning right here on WSMI FM 106.1.
Might need 6 overtimes to beat Iowa.
Fifth ranked
Iowa. Took 3 overtimes to beat the worst team in the league. Yeah. So how many overtimes will it take to beat maybe the best team
in
the
league? It's not the number of overtimes. It's the number of players you can sneak onto the floor.
Okay.
If you play 8-on-5, you might have a shot.
Is Rutgers the worst team in the league?
Well, they were winless.
Were they?
They had one. I think they had one win.
Oh, I thought they were winless in the Big Ten.
I thought Minnesota was winless.
I thought they were 1-6.
I thought they were. I saw them pop a graphic up that said they hadn't won a Big Ten game since like January of last year.
Okay.
When they beat, I think it was Michigan State. Wisconsin. Could be wrong. Either way, David, 0 or 1. Not good. And it's Rutgers. It's Rutgers.
That gives the Illini 3 wins in the conference.
Okay, where's Rutgers located?
Jersey.
Yeah, starts with a P. Piscataway. Is that right?
I think that's exactly where it is. But Maryland and Rutgers, those long-standing quality members of the Big Ten.
And Nebraska on the other side.
That I can at least swallow Nebraska a little better because, you know, Midwest. You know, Ag State with Indiana, Illinois, Iowa. Okay, a little more of a natural fit I could see. But Rutgers?
I like the early starts on the East Coast.
That's nice.
Yeah, those are nice.
That's nice. Unless they play triple overtime.
Does get to be a little late.
My brother and I, we experienced like a Buffalo Wild Wings commercial there. We went to the Buffalo Wild Wings in Edwardsville and we were watching that game. And remember those commercials they had years ago where they would, like, the guy, the bartender, would bring up a thing and it would, like, force overtime, like, make the game close? We had our checks. We were all ready to go. Illinois up by three. 3 seconds left in double overtime. We're ready. We're just about ready to pay. They nail the three, go into the third overtime. My brother and I look at each other like, well, one more beer? All right. Guess we're staying. Can't leave now. Can't leave now. Thanks, Illinois. Couldn't just win it in double overtime. Gillespie won in double overtime last night.
Yes, they did.
Beat Pena 90-86.
That's an awful lot of points.
That's a lot of points.
In these
good
days,
shooting.
Anyway.
Yeah. Gillespie was 35 of 39 from the free throw line.
Wow.
So Coach Casey Schultes is very pleased with that, I'm sure.
That'll work.
What did the Price boys have last night, I wonder?
25 apiece.
Did they?
Yep.
Okay.
Evan, including
decent night.
Evan was 11 for 11 from the free throw line.
And Evan's gone over 1,000 points for his career now.
Yeah. Okay.
Pretty good free throw shooters.
Not bad.
90 points for the win. Huh? Mm. Okay.
And double overtime.
Double overtime.
Greenville beat Litchfield 62-38. David Holden had 28 for the Comets. Greenville improves to 8-0 in league play. Carthenville got a good win last night over Hillsborough 65-63. 24 points in the win for Brady Jamison. And you look at Carthenville, record maybe not what they would like it to be, but just night in, night out, the players and athletes that they put on the floor, they're going to challenge you.
Mm-hmm. And as the year goes along, they get a little bit better, and they, you know, a team that you'd have to worry about once you get into postseason.
And that's been a trend under Alan Cooper where we've seen Carlinville get better from the start of the year to the end of the year, and that's always what you want
to
see.
That's what you want to have. Absolutely.
Nokomis is known to get better from the start of the year to the end of the year over the course of time. They beat Bunker Hill last night 48-38. Lincolnwood down Ramsey 68-36. Vandalia over Staunton 76-45. Edinburgh beat Mount Olive 58-43. Auburn, they beat North Mac 65-51.
I think it was the third time that Auburn beat North Mac this year.
Sounds right.
I think so.
Sounds right.
Yeah.
Greenfield Northwestern over Route 46-37. That game was played at Palmyra. Tom Emery was probably there.
More than likely. Yeah.
Mulberry Grove over Stu Straw 70-55. Southwestern got past North Green 57-54. And South County over Buffalo Tri-City 43-235. And that win for Southwestern at North Green, that's a nice quality win. That's never an easy place to go and get a win.
No, never easy place to get to.
No, buff.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So. For a variety of different reasons.
Yeah.
They hosting a postseason event this year?
Of course.
They are.
Of course.
North Green, I think they are somewhere,
Shoot,
it might even be here. In the 1-8
we're going to get into our postseason
I'll guarantee
settings
you.
Here.
I'll put money on that.
It's a safe bet.
It's a safe bet.
It's a safe bet.
Oh, look at that. They're hosting a sectional.
1A?
Yep. 1A girls sectional.
There you go. There you go. And I bet they'll have a boys event, too.
Yeah.
Oh, they're hosting a regional, too. 1A girls regional and sectional.
There you go.
I know there was one year I went up there and did a girls regional and a girls sectional. And then I'm pretty confident I went there the same year for a boys regional.
Boys regional.
It was three trips to North Green in about a month.
Yeah, so you were a regular there.
I pretty much was.
Yeah. You got to know the route.
Autopilot.
Yes.
So coming up next week, 1A and 2A regionals for the girls. We will have coverage from the Southwestern Regional and the North Mac Regional on the Class 2A side. At Southwestern, 7th-seeded Carthenville will take on 10th-seeded Staunton. That's a regional quarterfinal game Monday night at 7 o'clock. We'll have the broadcast at 9 here on FM 106. The winner of that game will get top-seeded Southwestern in a Wednesday night semifinal at 6 o'clock. Your second semifinal from Southwestern will have 4th-seeded Gillespie and 5th-seeded Greenville. That's a 7:30 tip on Wednesday night. Both of those games will be live on WSMI FM 106. At the North Mac Regional, this will be played at Verdon in a Monday night quarterfinal game. 8th-seeded North Mac will take on 9th-seeded South Fork. 7 o'clock tip. We'll have the broadcast 10:15 Monday night here on FM 106. The winner of that game, congratulations, you will get 2nd-seeded Hillsborough in the first semifinal on Tuesday night at 6 o'clock. And then 3rd-seeded Auburn will take on 6th-seeded Waverly, the co-op, at 7:30. Both of those games, or the Hillsborough game, will be live at 6 o'clock on Tuesday night. That'll be the first of our regional coverage triple header.
Perhaps
on
triple
Tuesday.
Header.
Hopefully.
We're kind of anticipating a triple header then. Hopefully.
Hopefully. That's the plan.
That's the plan. That's a plan, Stan.
That's right.
Yep. Okay.
And You know who you are, who's responsible for making that plan come true, too. You don't need to say anything, but you know.
Okay. By the way, so you've covered, what, the Southwestern and North Mac region,
yes.
Right? By the way, Pena is headed to Toledo Cumberland High School, and they will face the host school on Monday night at 7:30. The top seed in that regional is T-Town.
Good luck.
And then Pena's hosting the sectional.
Yeah, they're hosting the sectional.
Which is always a great sectional venue.
Oh, yeah, good venue. We have a lot of great venues around
really
here.
Really do.
Yeah. I wish they'd bring more, you know, a lot of junior high state tournaments are more to the north and right across the central part of the state. I wish they'd bring them closer to us.
But what about Auburn's Ivern is about as close as it seems to get.
Yeah, but yeah, I mean, we've got some great gymnasiums around here. Really cool places to play. Something that could handle a state tournament. I mean, they run tournaments otherwise.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
You ain't wrong.
Yeah,
that's right.
Make me commissioner, by golly.
Hey, you know, and as many of these state tournament games as we've covered over the years, we should get a vote.
Yeah.
You should be on the board,
We've got a record going
like,
here.
You're like Nora from Cheers when you walk into an IESA event now. Hey, it's T-Tone.
That just means we've had some good junior high basketball.
And we have what we talked about on the way up.
And Nokomis and Gillespie in 2A and 3A still going in
Gillespie's playing Greenville in the sectional.
Yeah.
The junior high.
But I know we talked about it too on the way up to watch the Indians just a few months ago. Yeah. Is it 8 years in a row that we've had a junior high championship game?
I think it's 8 years, of some sort, whether it be girls, boys, or basketball, and baseball, of course. Yeah.
And a few of those where we've had multiple in the same year.
Yeah, we had some in the same year,
So. And for the most part, we've seen those teams that had success at the junior high level, it has transitioned pretty well to the high school. If you think about what the Mount Olive girls are doing right now, they had all sorts of success at the junior high level, and they'll be playing in a Class 1A regional coming up on Monday that they will be hosting.
They'll be hosting their own regional.
And I like the fact that they're at home.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That's good.
They're going to need that home court.
Yeah, maybe. They are
the three seed in their subsectional. They will play Brussels. And that'll be on at 7:30 on Tuesday, February 9th. Other teams in that regional, Greenfield plays Bunker Hill. That's Monday the 8th at 7. And then the first game on Tuesday the 9th is Winchester against the winner of Greenfield and Bunker Hill. And Winchester, the 2 seed.
Very tough. And Mount Olive and Brussels just played, I think, on Thursday. Tight game, Mount Olive won.
Yeah, not an easy regional.
No, for Mount Olive, that's a pretty tough draw. Yeah. You get a Brussels squad that's a 20-game winner, and then you've got
West Central
sitting there in the title game. So the home court could prove big for Mount Olive, and I would imagine they would have a pretty raucous crowd there on a regional championship night with the Cats playing.
If they're playing on championship night, that place ought to be packed. There's probably a line outside the door.
I would hope so.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Another 1A regional of note, the Neoga regional.
Yes.
It has Stu Strauss playing Pawnee on February 8th at 6. And then after that, Nokomis against Cowden-Herrick. Nokomis the 8 seed, Cowden-Herrick the 11 seed. Winner of that one will go on to play Neoga on Tuesday at 7:30. The winner of Stu Strauss and Pawnee gets top-seeded Central A&M.
That's a decent haul to Neoga.
Going
to Charleston back in the day, you always go right past Neoga. So that's over there.
Well, it's been 40 years since I've been at the Neoga gym. Literally 40 years.
But it looks the same.
I don't know that I remember much about it.
Do you know if it's the same gym?
I assume it's the same gym, yeah. But back when I was in school long ago in a galaxy far away.
Todd's going with you?
Yeah. Well, his son-in-law is a principal over there, so we're already set up.
VIP treatment.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
VIP.
We've got the inn. We've got the inn.
It's the third straight year the Nokomis girls share a regional with Central A&M.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's no fun.
No.
Well,
that's no fun.
It's funny because if you go back 16, 17 years, 18 years, a lot of other teams are thinking the same thing. Ah, we got Nokomis in our region.
What goes around comes around.
Yeah, or Pena, you know, for a while there was Nokomis and Pena winning regionals like 8-9 years in a row. So, that's just the way it works out. So, yeah. But, you know, if you're going to be the best, you got to beat the best.
That's exactly right. You're going to run into them somewhere down the line.
That's right. So.
We need one final break here on Sports Saturday. We'll come back with more in a moment.
Fighting Illini basketball, 11 o'clock Sunday morning as the Illini take on the Iowa Hawkeyes right here on WSMI FM 106.1.
Playing on Super Bowl Sunday.
Super Bowl Sunday. You notice it's an early start.
Well, of course.
Yes. More people will be watching that Illini game, I'm sure.
Is there any sporting event scheduled during the Super Bowl time slot? I can't imagine there is.
I don't think so.
Can't imagine there is.
Bowling?
Maybe some bowling. Yeah, ESPN will probably have some PBA bowling on.
Yeah.
Or maybe some. They might have some sort of like odd golf event on.
Yeah.
Just go Wide World of Sports on and get some cliff diving maybe.
Yeah.
Something. You know, a little kayaking.
Yeah. Is that the lazy shift if you're ESPN?
I would think so. I would think that's where you're training new personnel. During this window here.
And on the other networks, it's rerun time.
That's exactly right. Yeah, that's exactly right.
Don't worry,
so if you didn't catch that episode earlier, a chance for you to catch up on it.
So the Illini 11 o'clock pregame tomorrow, here on FM 106 in. That's a game to where you think, boy, Illinois has just no chance. I think they do.
They beat Purdue.
Strangely enough. And that's exactly right. Because they've, talent-wise, they've got talent. It's like when they were going into the Rutgers game, yeah, they're both at the bottom of the league. But player for player, talent for talent, it's not close. Mm-mm. I mean, Illinois, they've got the players. They just seem to have a tendency to not play to their maximum ability more times than not. But this just seems like a game to where they will rise to the occasion at home against a rival in Iowa.
And not to make excuses, but when you have people playing out of position because of injuries, which the Illini have had for 3 years running now, it just makes it difficult to be successful sometimes because you can't do what you want to do. I mean, John Gross had a plan, and, you know, Lord knows he's had to change it numerous times because of injuries and still dealing with injuries.
When Michael Fink is getting as much playing time as he is, then you got problems.
Yeah, I still think he could have made that putback dunk against Providence. And that's why Illinois is so frustrating, because it's not just as easy to say, oh, they stink, they're terrible. It's not true.
That's not.
Their record stinks and their record is terrible. That is true. But team-wise, no. Yeah. Providence is a very good squad. Should have beat them on the road. Iowa State, a very good squad, should have beat them. So, I mean, they beat Purdue. Now, they've had some terrible losses, no doubt about it. But on any given day, they can beat you.
Should have beat Wisconsin.
You know, it comes down to the Illini have to shoot well.
Yes.
Because they don't rebound at all. So they have to shoot very well to be in a game. And if they can shoot well, then they're in the ball game.
And they inevitably will have a stretch where they just cannot score in every game. I remember the bracket.
I think every
game.
College team, every basketball team has that. Just as, you know, a few minute stretch where you could throw a brick up there and it's, you know.
Yeah. I remember the Bragg and Rice game. The announcer made a comment. Illinois was up like 20. Mm-hmm. This game's over. Have you watched the Illini? Have you watched them? Because it is not over. Yeah. And then no sooner do those words come out of his mouth, they don't score for like 6 minutes and the game is tied.
Sure.
And that's why they're frustrating.
Yeah.
Because it's always going
to
be close.
So they lost to Michigan in their first game because they were up. Should have won it, but went cold.
And that's ultimately probably where Illinois has come up short is they have not protected their home court in conference play nearly well enough over the last several years.
That place used to be unwinnable as an opponent for a stretch. You couldn't win at U of I.
Well, that's exactly right. Even if Illinois wasn't good, you knew at Illinois that was a loss.
Yeah. Well, I think trying to get the Orange Crush section closer and redoing the Assembly Hall or State Farm Center, you know, trying to make the environment a little more difficult for visiting teams. So I don't know whether it's obviously not paid off necessarily.
And it's been a disjointed type of year playing the games in Springfield like they did. It's just, you know, it threw everything off.
Mm-hmm. Just out of kilter. Kind of out of kilter.
One of those years.
Yeah. One of those years.
Ever since they lost the season opener to North Florida, that was just kind of the tone setter.
Wasn't a good sign, was it?
No.
Probably not.
Because they were all healthy, except for none. They didn't have none.
Which is a big loss.
Yeah. But they still should have beaten
North Florida. Well, he's their leading scorer.
Yeah. They lost to a couple of directional schools there. That's
Chattanooga.
Good.
Barely beat Chicago State, who may not have a basketball team next
year.
Barely
beat UIC.
Barely beat USC.
Man.
Barely beat North Dakota State.
At least they won them. But with all that said, they might beat Iowa tomorrow. Mm-hmm. They might get waxed by 30. Yeah. But I personally won't be surprised if they come out and challenge Iowa.
Yeah.
I think that'll be a close game. I don't think they're going to get blown out tomorrow any stretch.
Notre Dame was another one they should have won, too.
That's right. A lot of them.
Yeah, that would have been a quality win as well. Yeah.
Certainly Iowa still draws the ire of Illinois.
I think so. Something about Iowa.
Yeah.
You know what Iowa stands for.
No way.
And I only say this because it comes from an aunt of mine who lives in Iowa.
So you can say it.
So I can say it. These are her words, not mine. I guess she was on the Googles, and someone had informed her what Iowa stood for during the caucuses.
Yeah.
What it stood for. Idiots out wandering around.
You've set quite the precedent here.
I didn't say it. They said it.
You've been elected some special freedoms on today's program.
Oh, wow.
Being from Bunker Hill and having an aunt from Iowa.
Self-appointed. That's right.
Running those lines for Bunker Hill bought you some extra credit.
That's exactly right. When you run one for good old Bunker Hill,
there you go.
Every practice for however many years, you get to have an opinion, right?
I guess.
Just put the scoreboard up right. Get the right numbers up there. I mean, come on. Not hard. I'm going to ask you to split the atom here.
Tune in next week to find out what special power Tim has.
It's like festive. I got a lot of problems with you people.
Guess what job Tim's inherited.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
We don't know why Tim wasn't on the air next Saturday.
Weird. I don't know. Who is that? Never heard of that guy. Never heard of him.
Well, the question is, do you on purpose misspell one of the kids' names of the opposing team?
I don't know.
That would not be sportsmanlike.
That would not be sportsmanlike.
No.
At all. That's why you just need a digital board.
Those are cool.
Those are cool.
Yeah.
With the individual scoring for the players cool. on the floor.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Allows me to double check stuff.
Yeah. Very nice.
Like the one at Litchfield?
Yes. Yeah. Great board.
Carlinville.
As long as you can see it. If you're sitting in the far seat, you can't really see it very well.
If you're in the co-pilot seat, it's not good. But if you're in the pilot seat, you're in good shape there. Yeah.
Hillsboro's got a home game today. They got one of those fancy boards.
Yeah.
That displays the individual scoring. They're hosting Ocala Valley today.
That used to be Bethany.
Boys?
Used to be Bethany. That's Bethany and Finley, I think.
I hope you're not asking me because I don't know.
I think so. I think that's who it is.
Bethany or Sullivan?
Sullivan's still on its own.
Okay.
I think Ocala Valley is Bethany and Finley.
Okay.
Over in Moultrie, Shelby County. Yeah.
Sounds good.
Yes. Tacoma's traveling to Beecher City today. Pena, after playing two overtimes last night, gets to go to Taylorville today. That's a nice turnaround.
Oh, yeah.
Have fun with that.
At least it's not an incredibly long trip.
They're high schoolers, though. They'll bounce back.
Oh, yeah.
They'll be fine. They'll be fine. North Mac travels to Pawnee, and then Mulberry Grove is at Brussels, and that's your local slate of high school games today. And what, the boys' regular season will be over in 2 weeks?
The 19th. That's the last Friday night of the,
Yeah, because the 1A, 2A girls regionals, then the next week is the 3A, 4A girls, then the next week is the 1A, 2A boys.
And next Friday, pitchers and catchers. Are
oh, my goodness. How about that? That's fantastic.
Is Yachty out of his cast yet?
I don't know. I've tried not to pay attention because it's surgery just depressing.
Well, the thing of it is with the Cardinals, can you really trust him when they tell you?
No.
He's out of his cast.
No.
He's out of his cast.
Well, he might be out of his cast, but
right
is he still? Yeah.
I could see his cast.
At this point, I think I'd prefer to them say he's in his cast, he's never going to get out of his cast, and we don't expect him back anytime soon. So that means he'll be ready to go by opening day.
It's just a little thing.
That's right. When it's a couple day-to-day. Years ago, whenever day-to-day. Joe Kelly injured his hamstring in like the second week of the year, and Matheny and the Cardinals, they were so hesitant to say that he was going to be out for a while. They didn't want to move anybody around out of the bullpen because he's only going to miss one start. He missed half the year.
Yeah.
Half the year.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
That was bad.
The initial diagnosis was not quite.
Not spot on.
Not spot on.
Not spot on, but that's hard to believe that pitchers and catchers are coming up.
Yeah.
That's what warms your heart, though.
It does.
Oh, boy.